Audrey Anderson joins us now from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. You didn't know the question of the day, did you, Audrey?
I did not. So I am very curious to see if anyone gets in what the answer is.
Everyone is very intimidated by the question. No one calling in yet. Phone lines open, 312-981-7200. Take a wild guess of what was written into the Constitution. A little ambiguous, led to a couple crises over the years, and it was resolved in the 1940s. What am I talking about? 312-981-7200. Audrey, we've talked about a host of things over the past, oh boy, like 2 years you've been coming on this show. For those that are maybe new to WGN or new to the show, what is it that you do at Anderson Attorneys and Advisors?
Sure. So we are a defense firm for juveniles and adults that are charged with crimes or that are being investigated by crimes. And we also represent parents, guardians, those that are being investigated by DCFS for abuse, neglected children allegations, or have their children taken away, and we go to court to try to get their children back.
This is always a sticky topic, regardless of what news story we use to enter into it, because so many people out there believe that if DCF is coming to your house in the first place, you've done something wrong, or that if a DCFS takes the child away from your home, you've done something wrong, which in many cases is accurate. But in many cases may not be, right? This is kind of a difficult one here.
Right. It's very difficult. And it's there's so many gray areas. You think, oh, obviously, if some child's been abused or neglected, DCFS gets a call. Why doesn't the caseworker go in and remove the child?
Well, right.
Because the administrative code has an emphasis on the fact that children should remain in the family and the children not be removed from the family. And DCFS to offer services to help the family stay together. That's the emphasis of DCFS.
Right. So their ultimate goal in a perfect world would be to help a family be together, stay together in a healthy way.
Correct. Right. So their goal is to prevent unnecessarily removing children. Well, again, what's unnecessarily, or how do you know when it's time to remove a child and when it's not? Should you just err on the side of caution and remove a child? But still, that's emotional damage to a young child or even a teenage child to be ripped from family. And if you don't have any family or friends in the area that your children can stay with, then you go to complete strangers. So how is that if you're 4 years old or even an infant, a brand new newborn, get ripped from your parents and go to strangers?
Every case is different. So I think it's hard to kind of like answer this in like one blanket term. But it seems impossible for people to think that, oh my gosh, a child who has been neglected, how is it a better situation that they stay with those parents? Some would say, as a binary choice, it may not look that way, but if you can help parents become better parents, that is a better scenario and outcome than taking a child away to live with strangers.
Right, because sometimes parents, I mean, when you have a child, you don't necessarily get a manual on how to parent, so you use your common sense or your experience. So depending on your background, you may not have had the strongest parents or supports when you grew up. And so you only know perhaps one way to discipline a child, or maybe you're just having a rough day. And so you're having a mini moment when your child does something and you act out of anger just by accident. You don't intend to. That doesn't mean you're a bad parent. So yes, DCFS is there to try to explain how to parent or offer classes or other counseling services to assist you.
Right. And I just want to, Audrey's like the nicest human ever. I just want to make sure that no one interpreted that as you justifying some drastic action against a child. You're suggesting about some of more minor things that some people might see as okay, other people may not, correct?
Correct. Yes. Great.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes.
Correct. I do not advocate, obviously, abusing, striking children.
Okay.
Correct. I do not advocate that.
I know that. I think all the listeners who have listened to you before know that. I just wanted to make sure that that was abundantly clear.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that.
What happened recently was, and the AJ Friend situation is one of the most tragic things I've ever had to talk about on the radio. Just a horrible case 4 years ago. Of course, this poor 5-year-old murdered by his parents or his mother, and the death hidden by his father. They're both in prison. What lingered afterwards was a decision of what should happen to the DCFS caseworker and their supervisor. And it was a trial by the judge, I believe, not the jury.
Correct, the judge.
And the judge found the supervisor not guilty and found the child welfare worker guilty of endangerment, but not of reckless conduct. Can you first describe maybe what he found, the judge, I should say he or she, I don't quite remember, found him guilty of?
Right. So I think the judge was a man. So the caseworker, who actually was one of the investigators on it, he was found guilty of endangering the life health of a child that led to the death of the child. So when it leads to the death, the proximate cause of the death of a child, that becomes, and the sentence is now a felony. So if the caseworker goes to prison, I believe the minimum is 2 years and the maximum is an extended term of 10 years in prison.
Wow.
So if it had been just regular endangerment where it didn't lead to a death, that would be a misdemeanor punishable by up to 364 days in jail. So for the caseworker, it's the same. A caseworker, a parent, someone who has responsibilities over a child that they cause or permit the life or health of a child to be endangered, or they permit the child to be placed in circumstances that leads to the child's endangerment or injury to the child. So it's the second one, presumably, for the caseworker, that the caseworker allowed the child to remain with the parents. But the difficulty is when a child is so young, in doing an interview with the child, if they're three, it's hard to speak to them about what's been happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have a sense of time, and their information, their recall is not always accurate. So it's difficult to speak with a child so young.
Yeah, I just, and I don't know every single detail of this case. I mean, it did seem like to the average person, there were certainly warning signs in that there were repetitive calls to the house. That certainly would be a reason a worker would want to pull the child out of the home, right?
That is true. It's my understanding in researching this, there were numerous calls. And from my experience over the decade plus that I've been dealing with DCFS abuse and neglect, it does seem that when DCFS comes to home repeated times, at that point, typically by the third, definitely the fourth, if that far, they definitely have typically removed the child at that point. So especially if the allegations were cuts, welts, bruises, abrasions, which is my understanding some of the allegations mm-hmm. were, you would think that the child would be removed. But what people don't realize, it's not the same caseworker that goes back for every single call.
Hmm.
It's whoever is the next caseworker that's up on rotation to get the call that goes out if it's an overnight, a weekend, a holiday. And then the next caseworker in line to get the assignment. So it's not always if you, John, were the caseworker. It's not you're always going to get the case that gets responding to that specific child or that address. It
right.
could be me or someone else the next time.
I just... And putting aside whether the listeners think that this was a just verdict or not, and that's obviously for the judge to decide, and you respect that decision. We all, you know, that's how this works. It does raise some questions about, does this change the way DCFS operates? Do you have any concerns that caseworkers then, for a legitimate fear of something happening if they do not remove a child from a home, then... And maybe some would argue this is how it should always have been, err on the extreme side of caution and take a child out.
I do. And that's a concern that a lot of attorneys that deal with this have been discussing, that DCFS caseworkers don't want to risk their freedom, losing their job, being convicted of a felony if something should happen to that child, because caseworkers don't have a magic eight ball. They can't see into the crystal ball of the future, so that now that they will just automatically yank the children out of the home. But then I guess you go to court. So then you argue this now in front of the judge. So you lay it at the judge's feet if the judge decides to return a child home or not. But I do believe that caseworkers now are going to be more concerned. And I know caseworkers always say, I have to speak with my supervisor. If ever you've done one of these investigations, they must say, I have to do a consult with my supervisor a million times. So I think that people will be erring on the side of caution and removing children more quickly than they used to.
Right. And I know a lot of people out there go, good, right? Like, that's the first instinct. And I admit that is my first instinct, too, to say, absolutely. But, again, you talk about the mission of DCFS. And as we've talked before on the show, but maybe people don't quite grasp, DCFS is called many, many times for non-legit reasons, correct?
Absolutely. Sometimes they're just called because it's a mistake. You see what you think is a child with a black eye. So just some person in the grocery store sees it and they call DCFS because why should a four-year-old have a black eye? Well, they don't know that the four-year-old walked into the couch or tripped at school or something innocent.
And this really happens. I'm not making this up. Okay.
Right. These are actual experiences that I've had with clients and as a defense attorney, as a prosecutor as well. Other times it's just vengeful. It's an ex getting against their ex. It's custody issues and they want their child. It's a neighbor dispute. So you're trying to stick it to the neighbor and just wreak havoc on them to hopefully they move. So many despiteful reasons or innocent reasons people call, but it's not because there was truly malicious intent or harm to a child.
So, following that train of thought, your concern and a lot of people's concern was, okay, for some of these bogus claims, which, by the way, and some are well-meaning, by the way, but they're mistaken, but it's a well-meaning. Like, you see someone at the grocery store, you want to report that, okay, fine. But if a caseworker then, who is that immediate contact at first with the parents, if they are, trigger happy is the wrong word, they're more erring on the side of caution, and they take the child out of the home, that sets off a ripple effect that can impact that family in ways that are kind of ones we don't understand.
Right. It definitely has a ripple effect, especially if the children are younger. It's difficult to rip out a child from their home. It's also issues if one of the parents has a career that deals with children, a teacher, you can get suspended.
Right.
If you're a daycare worker, something like that, you can get suspended, lose your job just because you're investigated by DCFS. And it's a long process. It could take months and months for it to get resolved.
All right. Audra, can you stick around a little longer?
Absolutely.
All right. We got to take a break for the news. Also, Karen, we're going to try and get your guest to the question of the day. Audrey Anderson from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors is still here with us. You can visit AndersonAA.com or give them a call, 630-877-5800. Have a text I wanted to read for you, Audrey. We've been talking about DCFS, and a lot of what you do and your firm does is helping parents out that have had children or that have been visited by DCFS in the first place, or children taken out of the homes. But you are a DCFS supporter, too. It's like a hard thing. Like, obviously, you are maybe on the other side, but you understand, I imagine, and appreciate the difficult job they have. And I think all of us work better when we have a healthy child services arm of our government or independently that are doing a good job, right?
Right, absolutely. And these caseworkers, it's a huge task that they're assigned with. Obviously, they're voluntarily choosing these careers,
right,
clearly. But still, they go to homes they've never been to. They only see a moment in time, and they have to make a significant decision that can impact the family forever. To remove a child and bring the family to court, it's a difficult job, but obviously one that they've chosen to do.
For sure. 773 says, I worry about the safety of children in the care of DCFS due to the incredible staff shortages. And on top of that, the new caseworkers they hire are inexperienced. I worry they don't have enough quality training and supervision to be able to handle high caseloads while ensuring child safety. There really seems to be a crisis in child welfare in Illinois. Agree?
Oh, absolutely. I agree. But it takes a special kind of person to work in this area. I could never do it. Full time. That's what
right.
They do 24/7, a lot of them. And that's correct. They are overworked and it is hard. I do hear stories all the time of there's not a placement for a child once they are removed from a family because maybe the child has special needs or the age of the child, they're preteen, whatever, or even younger, or maybe perhaps in that area they don't have enough foster family or there isn't a suitable parent or family member or friend that can take a child. So what does DCFS do? Unfortunately, that's true. They do go to their offices and the kids sleep on the floor and you have to have a staff member there trying to help the child until they find a placement. And that does happen all the time.
If when should parents call you? Like at what point in this process? Is it the moment someone knocks on the door?
They really should reach out. I don't know how much I can do in the moment right there, but there are at least options. So maybe instead of DCFS removing the child and bringing the child directly to court with the foster family, perhaps depending on the situation, DCFS can think of a safety plan, meaning if you can suggest a family or friend that can temporarily take your child for 5 days and that gets extended week by week so that they can be the supervisor of your child. And that way you stay out of the court system while DCFS does the initial investigation. That's sometimes what I do when people call me at the moment. I ask to talk to the caseworker and say, is this an option for them?
Right. So like it's not a parent saying, you're right, I did something wrong. It's like, hey, as opposed to just taking my child away immediately and then they're go to a judge who then could place them with strangers.
Correct.
Can we find this like middle ground where, okay, I know my parents, my friend, whatever, can they go there instead? But if you're not there to help make that case and someone doesn't know that that is an option, and then that doesn't ever get presented to the caseworker.
Right. I mean, the caseworker, if they have the experience, they can think about that. And that way, at least it slows down the moment. It's not a decision made in haste. So at least the family can be assured somewhat that their child is going to someone that they're already comfortable with. granted, it's difficult that mom and dad aren't going to be there at night to put them asleep or all throughout the day, whatever, pick them up from school. But at least they're in a familiar environment.
Right. And it could be temporary while the process plays out.
Correct.
630-877-5800. You can visit Audrey's website, AndersonAA.com. We've been talking about DCFS. That's one angle of what you do, but you guys do a lot more.
Right. We represent juveniles and adults who are charged with crimes ranging from traffic to murder. So everything in between.
Okay. Those are two extremes.
They're very extremes. Boy, yes.
I don't want to leave on that last down note. Say something nice before we say goodbye, Audrey. Traffic to murder. Call me. But you're just giving us the range.
I am. Everything in between.
I'm not trying to chuckle. I'm just, it is.
So the minor things as well.
Minor to major. Let's just say that. All right, Audrey. It's always good to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Thanks again for having me.
630-877-5800.